So basically, pika is not entirely something that bans, but of course, it bans the production, it bans the sale, it bans the advertisement, it bans the distribution, and import and export of e-cigarettes, apparently. But interestingly, you cannot be penalized for using it for a personal use. So it's not a criminal offense here. You can use it for personal offense, personally, like, on your hotel room, in your home. If you're vaping, no one is going to care. But yeah, this really creates a gray area that I like to call that, a consumer can own it and use the vapes, but buying them through illegal channels is a near impossibility in India, and it's not going to happen.
Hello, world. Welcome to the Vaping Unplugged podcast. Everything you need to know about vaping and tobacco harm reduction.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the podcast Vaping Unplugged. My name is Lisa. I will be your host today, and you're listening to the podcast where we discuss tobacco harm reduction globally, all about vaping policies and consumer issues, and all about less risky nicotine alternatives. And today we will be talking about the country that has probably one of the most restrictive situations when it comes to vaping and vaping legislation. And that country is India. That probably is not going to be a surprise for our listeners, as we have written and talked about it a lot. And today I invited Shrey Madan, who is Indian Policy Associate at the Consumer Choice Center. Shrey has done a lot of work advancing harm reduction in India. And we're going to be talking about the challenges right now and what can happen next. Hi, Shrey, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Hi, Lisa. It's a pleasure for finally having an opportunity to have a chit chat about vaping in India, of course, and for being a part of the podcast. So, pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure for us too. Maybe you could start by telling us a little bit about yourself. We do it traditionally for our listeners, that basically they know who they are watching or listening to. So, just a quick background on you. How did you end up in harm reduction and consumer advocacy in India? And how did you get involved with the Consumer Choice Center?
So I'm an advocate by profession. So, discussing about the policies, legalities is a kind of, it's a knack for me ever since I was in school. So, of course, my curiosity led me to join law school, 5 years of rigorous work. And somehow, this is something that I started to develop an interest for, policy work. I used to hear this word a lot, public policy. What is that in the first place? So, of course, curiosity led me to, going to places, talking about, discussions about the public policies on the public forum, of course, being starting point being multinational nations. And this is how my journey started. So back in 2020, it was a lockdown situation, of course. A lot of things were happening and there were a lot of chaos at the same time. This is where I got this opportunity to work as a fellow for Consumer Choice Center. I still remember vividly, I had to write an article on e-cigarettes, and I got a message like, you know what, would you be interested in becoming a fellow? And, it's been 5 years. I've been working as a fellow now, just recently joined as an associate. So basically now it's my bread and butter, parcel of what my career is. And I'm super happy to, have the opportunity to work to bring that voice of consumers to India, which is not here, not present at all. I would like to talk about this really interesting thing, because now that you mentioned how I got started with harm reduction. So back in 2019, there was a time when I was in college and e-cigarettes were all over the place. People were going bananas. They wanted e-cigarettes. They want to talk about e-vaping because this was apparently new cool. But this is during the time, I think the government got hold of our happiness and they somehow banned it. So there was a blanket ban on the e-cigarettes, vaping products. And this is how I started, okay, it's hypocritical here. You're not banning cigarettes. You're not banning you know, unhealthy fast food. You're not banning tobacco products, because in India, there are a lot of alternative tobacco products as well, which is really popular among the general public. But why are we treating vaping products, e-cigarettes like that? So this really started me to think over. And I think me starting as a fellow in Consumer Choice Center, my first assignment was to talk about the Bloomberg policies and how these policies are backing the Indian lawmakers and how they are just pushing a narrative which is, you know, not pro-consumers. So this is how I started my journey as a fellow, then associate as a Consumer Choice Center, and of course, being a policy advocate I am right now.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing that. We have a lot of different stuff to discuss about India, and there is this vaping ban that is like Prohibition of Electronic Cigarettes Act, like PECA, if I'm pronouncing that right. correctly. And also there is a ban on coming from the aviation ministry, I guess. It's basically a ban to transport the vapes. So, you know, it always fascinates me how far the lifestyle regulations can go, because in some countries we have less restrictive approach, more or less, if you compare it to India. But then in India or in countries like Thailand, for instance, what you witness is the criminalization of consumers. Like, I don't know, the tourists who come to India with a vape, can they carry a vape in an airport? Is it going to be confiscated? So there is a more of a restrictive right. environment in India. So for our listeners, let's first basically dig into that. Let's, if you could explain all around the vaping ban in India, and also maybe if I am a foreign citizen traveling to India, what are the things I should consider when it comes to being on a plane with a device?
Okay, so there are a lot of things, and quite necessarily, like, you know, not everything falls into its place. So let's talk about the PECA. So basically, PECA is not entirely something that bans, but of course it bans the production, it bans the sale, it bans the advertisement, it bans the distribution and import and export of e-cigarettes apparently. But interestingly, you cannot be penalized for using it for a personal use. So it's not a criminal offense here. You can use it for personally, like, you know, on your hotel room, in your home, if you're vaping, no one is going to care. But yeah, this really creates a gray area that I like to call that, you know, a consumer can own it and use the vapes, but buying them through illegal channels is a near impossibility in India, and it's not going to happen. Long story short, yes, there are restrictions. They will check, they will scrutinize you, and they want you to declare certain products, like, you know, when you're entering to India. And for a foreigner, it is necessary that you have to have a form written, like, you know, if you have any product that's not allowed in India, so you need to, you know, declare it, and you can just work out the details. So somehow they just let it slip by, but more or less it's a straight up ban. I would like to mention that there are instances where people got away with their vapes without any trouble, so it's not entirely unheard of, but on paper and in general practice, it's a complete ban. You cannot bring anything. But of course, if you know how to maneuver, you can work around the things. If you're really good with the words, you know, you can really pass it through any diffuser, if you know what I mean. But I'll talk about it later.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There is one follow-up question. So you mentioned that the possession is not criminalized under the PECA legislation. However, what I was reading is that, yes, indeed, when I was reading the legislation itself, like the law, it was not covering the individual possession of vapes. But right. as far as I understand, some of the representatives of health authorities tried to speculate that, saying that since there is this prohibition, it implies as well that the possession might be also covered under this law. I was talking to our very dear partners from India as well, who are advocating for vaping in India, and they said that even though there were some speculations, it's not actually covered. So is there a case there, for instance, some police or anyone can approach you on the street saying that you cannot possess a vape, or is it more or less safe to vape in public in India?
Well, really interesting question. Of course, as you mentioned, you know, personal use of vape is not a problem here. You can do it. No one is going to kill you, of course, and no one is going to penalize you. But and as far as, you know, implication is involved, I mean, it's really easy to, you know, assume things, right? Unless it's written on the paper, unless it's written by the law, you cannot just claim, like, you know, it's banned. Like, you cannot sell, you cannot, you know, just advertise it straight up. But still, you should have mentioned, like, you know, it is something that if you are using itself is a punishable offense. But no, it's not. So long story short, like, you know, if you're going for a public, as far as, like, you know, if honestly, a lot of people don't care here. You can use it in public, but of course, the more eyes are there, you are bound to get into a little bit of trouble just because, like, you know, if someone is more aware or more vigilant, they might report. So it's just to really wake speculation. I have seen people vaping in public. It's not unheard of, but at the same time, it's not advisable. At least from my perspective, like, you know, if you really want to use it, just come on, use it in a, you know, like in your rooms, or maybe you just, you know, if you're in a party, no one is going to check on you. So you're more than free to do it. A lot of my friends do it. A lot of people that I know, they are okay with it. But yeah, public use, as long as I'm concerned and what I've observed, not a big issue. But again, you don't want to get into trouble, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, of course. I understand that.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for providing the information on that. It might be very interesting for consumers who are actually listening and who might be, you know, planning their travels to India. One more thing, that's always what we ask for, is the implications of on this or that policy generally. And since there is this kind of a very severe ban in India, we usually know what is the pattern of a prohibitionist policy and how does it end up driving and fueling illicit trade. So what would you say about the situation in India? Is there a black market for vapes? Did it do people still get products? And what are the risks coming from that?
Well, there are a lot of things. So, of course, vaping is a ban. It's a blanket ban. Strict. It's a roadblock here. You cannot do it. You cannot bring it at all. However, just like everything that is banned, people are curious, and of course they are bound to break laws. So yes, there is a big, vast black market that exists because of those prohibitionist policies. You know what? The consumption hasn't gone low. Contrary to the popular belief, it's just simply went underground, and this is what's happening. So all the products are still available. There's a cross-border smuggling. There's a e-commerce loopholes that people have identified. So I have happened to know a lot of websites. I'm not going to name them, of course, but they just market those e-vapes as e-diffusers. So technically, it's a vape, but, you know, on the broader scheme of things, you're not selling e-cigarettes. You're just selling an e-diffuser. So you know what? You're okay. You can, you know, advertise, you can list it for a sale, and you can personally use it, or maybe apparently in public, which should not be a trouble because apparently you're using an e-diffuser. So it's one of those common terms that is used to sell e-cigarettes, you know, in India by e-commerce, of course. And of course, there are a lot of online, you know, social media platforms like Instagram. You can, you know, easily buy stuff. You can go for a Telegram. There is a WhatsApp sales group where you can, you know, just buy, you know, peep from consumer to consumer sales. So of course, there are a lot of ways people just figure things out. And of course, we have neighbors like, you know, we have China, we have Nepal, where the ban is still not there. So people bring stuff by road, sell it online, sell it on the places, even on, you know, local tobacco shops, which is a relatively new concept here. But If I'm talking to it in public, I know, or maybe they know what I'm talking about. So those places you can still buy e-cigarettes. Dare I say e-cigarettes, e-diffusers, of course. So yeah, there are places, there are ways to procure these products that you, that are apparently banned, but you know, it's not entirely like, you know, super banned, like, you know, you're being thrown into jail for possessing it. So yeah, mm-hmm. that's the thing.
Yeah. And what would be your assessment when it comes to, when it comes to riskiness of the products that people get from the illicit, from the black market, comparing if they were legal? So do you think there is this kind of risk that consumers might be facing because of the fact that there is a prohibition and it evoked the black market, and now consumers are worse off, actually? So it's happening in many countries, but I would like to hear what's going on in India.
Of course, contraband products, the biggest enemy of consumer health and the public good in general. So, of course, it's not something unheard of. You're using a black market stuff, be it from the dark web, be it from, you know, underground sources. It's a, you're not sure about the quality control, and I'm pretty sure they don't even care about the quality in the first place. They simply care about the money. So contraband goods, big risk. Often they are, you know, often they have like contaminated e-liquids, which creates a smoke, which is a big problem, of course. You never know how much nicotine level is in, you know, in those products, because as far as I have seen, there is not meant, it's just mislabeled. They don't even have like a proper labeling about what is the nicotine content on that product in the first place. There is a strong regulatory oversight, so we don't know what exactly is going in that product. So basically, whatever fumes you're smoking, it could be anything but in nicotine itself. So you're not sure. So there are a lot of things that needs to be taken care of course, when you're going for the black market stuff. It's not entirely something that I recommend. Of course, there are some channels. There might be some, you know, legitimate products that are being sold in the black market, but at the same time, it's not worth the risk. So there are a lot of reports like, you know, there are unregulated products, which has, you know, some heavy metals mixed into the liquid, which is harmful for us. And there are some nicotine concentrations. There are some even toxic chemicals that are not found in the product, vape products that are legally available in other parts of the world. But in India, there is a possibility because, you know, contraband, counterfeiting, it's a big, big thing here in India. Mm-hmm. It really also brings me to a really interesting situation that happened in United States, I suppose. It was 2019. And there's a disease called Ebola, which is basically a disease that is born from it's a kind of a lung injury that just linked to vape products. Initially, it was believed like, you know, okay, this is vaping. So people, you know, they're consuming a lot of nicotine. So it's just, you know, doing its thing. But later it was found that it's basically those THC vape cartridges. And mind you, they're not nicotine. They are THC vape cartridges, which, you know, works with vitamin E acetate. So of course, I'm not going to go into much more details here, but the combination is really, this concoction is super dangerous. It's lethal. So it is bound to get you very sick in the first place. And which is wrongly blamed to those traditional nicotine e-cigarettes that people were using. So it led to a lot of, you know, backlash even in America, which was echoed around the world, including India, apparently led to the huge ban on us because, you know what, India, that's what I can say. Of course, I don't want to get into controversial here. So, yeah, so this really happened here. So that leads to the birth of unregulated sector, the black markets, which is the real culprit here. And of course, the similar dangers exist in India. So it's better that, you know, there are some channels that you should use. You should be aware about the products that you're using and how much you're using in the first place. I have seen people going vaping all the time. I have friends who vape all the time. There's a limit. It has to be used in moderation. But again, you know, we are talking about youth who listens. So that's the thing.
I just keep in mind that when we're talking about Ebola, it's interesting that those vapes were actually but on a black market, then those are not the legal nicotine vapes that we usually get on the market, as you mentioned. So that hurt the reputation of nicotine vaping, which is a smoking cessation tool, and there is this scientific evidence that it works for those who want to quit smoking. And sadly, it's really, really hard ever since then to reverse that damaged reputation. Even though if you go on the website of CDC, you will see that that these are not the traditional nicotine vapes that we're talking about that cause the valley. But yeah, sadly, there is also a lot of media that spreads out the word with headlines, clickbait headlines, and then the evidence, scientific evidence, is kind of left behind. You were talking about the fact that e-vali is one of the main probably reasons of why India has implemented such a restrictive, like a full-scale ban on vapes. But I also want to know about the relations of WHO and India. I know India has signed and ratified FCTC, right? So there must be a correlation there. So how much influence does WHO have on India's vaping laws?
So thank you so much for the question. Of course, WHO has major roles in, you know, just and led to the Indian's vape ban, of course. And as you mentioned, we are ratified the FCTC recommendations. But you know what? It is more rooted in an ideology than a science-based evidence, of course. So there is a narrative that is being pushed around, like, you know what? Vaping is dangerous, but apparently smoking a cigarette is not. Of course, I suppose, like, you know, the big cigarette companies have a grip on the government and in the world, you know, and the huge, you know, world itself, of course. There are a lot of organizations that are pushing a certain narrative. So it's really interesting to see, like, what WHO is doing. If you notice, like, you know, they talk about harm reduction and they have recognized this concept, but in other areas, not in the, you know, like a vaping, they have needle exchange programs to draw for drug users, but they refuse to acknowledge that, you know, the vaping can help significantly in reducing the smoke-related deaths, which is really oxymoronic, to be honest, if you ask me. They're just pushing in policies, you know what, that we are harming the smokers in the first place. And of course, they are completely ignoring the science behind the harm reduction, which is much more concerning for me. So, you know, if you remember, like, I think we discussed about this a lot. Public Health England's research has showed that vaping is 95% less harmful than smoking, and it could be used as a smoking reduction tool. Even if you're using those nicotine patches, it's much more easier, much more approachable, because you're not making any changes in your habit. You're still smoking. You're not putting a patch on your body. You're not chewing like a Nicorette or something. You're just using a smoke that is less harmful than the actual cigarette. So I don't understand why people or why the big organizations like WHO is real reluctant in acknowledging the benefits that it had on the humans and how we can use it as a better alternative to smoking cigarettes. Smoking a cigarette is way more dangerous than smoking a vape. And we have evidence to back it up. So of course, there are a lot of things that are being pushed around, which doesn't make sense in this world. But again, you know what? This is the world. This is a beautiful irony that we live in a world but full of contradictions. So yeah.
Well, I think we can explain why WHO might be pushing that agenda, considering that they're pushing the agenda of Bloomberg. So basically, he's going after all vapes and all nicotine products, not. Right. Assessing the diversity and risks, actually, so not recognizing that there should be. What we could do instead is just give consumers a choice to have a chance to switch from deadly combustion to the ways of nicotine consumption, which is way, way less harmful than the combustion, right? So, yeah, it's really sad if you go to the FAQ of WHO and just check what they write about vapes versus cigarettes. Obviously, they do write that combustion is just smoking cigarettes is bad for health. And they do write that vaping also has risks, and we all know that as well as vaping advocates, but they do not differentiate between smoking combustible tobacco and vaping, which is already a very misleading for a person who just wants to quit smoking and Googles what WHO's response would be. That would potentially make person stick right with combustion, which is right. Really, really counterproductive.
I'm so sorry to interrupt here. Yeah, you're right. Like, you know, they're just pushing a narrative here, as I mentioned more times here. Like, first of all, let the people choose what they want. They're more than capable of deciding what's good for them. And I think it's criminal for us to basically outrightly just deny access to something that can actually benefit their health. Why are we playing with the public's health just because, you know, the government has a grip on the cigarettes and the tobacco companies? Like, you know, they don't want to cut down on their profits. So I suppose this could be one of those things. But of course, I'm just tossing around a controversial theory here just to get canceled. So I'm not going to go deep into that. But of course, this is one of those reasons, like, I believe, like, people should know what their rights are. And they should know, they should be more aware. You know, you should be more aware of what you're putting in your body. If you know how harmful cigarettes are and how, you know, e-vaping can help you, you know, getting the same pleasure, but at the same time, 95% less dangerous, I think you're going for a good deal. So you should know about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's why it's important for consumers probably to always stay informed and check the evidence and read the research, actually, because there is numerous research papers that have stated that vaping is substantially less harmful than smoking. Well, we're slowly moving to our final part of the podcast. So I'd like to ask you, as someone who advocates for consumers' rights, and that's what we've been chatting about right now, what would be your message to consumers and also to policymakers in India?
Right. Thank you for this question. Something that has been really bothering me for a lot. So first of all, to consumers, to all the vapors, you know what? It is your choice. You should switch to alternative choices, and it should not be criminalized. If you want to go for e-vapes, come on, go for it. It's your right. You should know. And on the bonus, it's a harm reduction tool. You are doing yourself a favor by, you know, switching to a healthier means of smoking, and try to make your life a bit, you know, make a good about yourself, making a better life choices. So just always for consumers, ask questions, stay aware, be vigilant about what is happening all around the world. Don't just go to the store, see for yourself what's behind the label. Is it something that you want to consume? Is it something that you want to put in your body? Is there anything that you want to, and always compare in the first place. Just go there, compare products. Something is much more healthier. Of course, if you really want to pay the price, just pay it. And this is something that applies to e-cigarettes. They may be tad a little bit more pricier than your regular, you know, cigarette, but it's a better choice, of course. And as far as, you know, policymakers like you and I are involved, you know, are concerned, I think we should fight for our rights. We have the ability. This is something that is bestowed on us by, you know, our merits. Like, you know, we should keep this initiative forward. We should take it to the masses. We should bring about the consumer freedom. We should talk about the science. We should talk about the public health. We should talk about the lifestyle choices. And this is what Consumer Choice Center is here for. And this is one of those ideas, like, you know, we decided, like, you know, this is the perfect time for us to come to India and bring this forward to public. Because now I feel India, with its youth, now we are ready to delve into the field realm of public policy. And in the same time, consumer choice, which is not present at all, but now we do have a presence here. So this is some of those things, like, you know, I just want to do. And before I, you know, just conclude, or maybe if you have maybe one follow-up question, it's perfectly fine. For consumers, I think one, three things that I want to do: stay informed, you know, engage with policymakers just like us. You know, do listen to our podcast, and I think we should be a legal feature now, and join advocacy groups. Now we have Consumer Choice Center here in India. So just letting you guys know, like, you know, if you want to come, just write to us and we can work something together, of course. And there are a lot of advocacy groups in the first place. So do explore this field, something that really brings good. If you really want to be make a mover of the chain, mover of something, if you want to be a change, this is the right time to do. You have choices now, so make use of it.
Thank you so much, Ray, for an interesting insight on what's going on in India, for an inspirational message in the end. I'd also like to thank all of our listeners who listen to the podcast and would like to ask you all to stay tuned for the next episode as well, because we will be back in 1 week exactly. Thank you very much and keep on fighting for harm reduction. Bye-bye.
Take care, everybody, and stay alert. And, you know, just make choices. So that's all I can say right now. Thanks a lot, Lisa, for this amazing opportunity. And, of course, looking forward to your next episode and, you know, next feature, of course. So take care, everybody. Stay tuned.
Bye-bye.